Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107, Sunday, Second Class, May 11th, 2025, Romans.
All right, as we get ready for part two, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, that you have magnified your word over all of your name. And therefore, the word of God is more important than the very air that we breathe. And as we assemble this morning to fellowship in the word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. All right, verse 13 in corrected translation sounds like this. Indeed, if you are living according to the sin nature, under the authority of the sin nature, you are destined to die, maximum divine discipline. But if you are living by the agency of the Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, the filling of the Spirit and the teaching ministry of the Spirit, you are putting to death the production of the sin nature, and you will live the spiritual life of the church age. So a principle, only by the power of God the Holy Spirit and the power of the Word of God that you learn and believe and is in your heart, can the believer put to death the production of the sin nature, sin and evil and lust? Only by the power of God the Holy Spirit and the power of the Word of God that you have learned and believed is in your heart, can the believer put to death the production, the deeds of the sin nature. Now, Paul is teaching this very clearly here in Romans 8, but this is not the only place the Apostle Paul taught these principles. So turn over to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, let's start at verse 22. You were taught with regard to your former way of life when you were an unbeliever to put off your old man. The old man is the sin nature. To put off the old man, which is being corrupted by its deceitful lusts, the lust patterns of the sin nature, to be made new in the thinking of your minds, and to put on the new man, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully. Falsehood, lies. When you're living by your sin nature, you lie, 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 lie. But when you're living the spiritual life, you communicate truth. You speak truthfully to your neighbor. For we are all members of one body. This is the church, the body of Christ. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. And do not give the devil a foothold. He who has been stealing must steal no longer. I have a funny. There was a fellow, pastor, and he took this and he read this and he said, let him that stole steal. No more let him work with his hand. So you can make the Bible say anything you want it to say. See? That's not what it says here. He who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with his own hands, that he may have something to share with those in need. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, and that is sins of the tongue that come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for edification, building up of others, edification, according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And stop grieving the Holy Spirit of God. When you are doing these things by the sin nature, you're grieving God the Holy. You're not filled with the Spirit. You're not walking by the Spirit. You're grieving the Holy Spirit. Stop grieving the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. That's the redemption of your body at the rapture. Get rid of all bitterness and rage and anger and brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. All of that is the production of the sin nature. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgave you. That's the spiritual life. That is virtue love brought to completion in your heart. When you have the ultimate objective, virtue love brought to completion in your heart, this is the characteristic of virtue love. Personal love for God the Father, impersonal love for all mankind, occupation with Jesus Christ. That's the ultimate objective of the spiritual life. And what will be the result of that? Kind and compassionate to one another. Impersonal love for all. Forgiving one another just as in Christ God forgave you. So Paul not only taught it in Romans, he taught it in Ephesians, and he taught it also in Colossians. So turn over to Colossians. Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. Colossians 3, let's start at verse 5. Therefore, consider the members of your earthly body as dead to fornication, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which amounts to idolatry. For it is on account of these things that the wrath of God will come. And in them you also once walked when you were living in them. But now you also put them all aside. What are you putting aside? Anger, wrath, malice, slander, and abusive speech, sins of the tongue from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you laid aside the old man, sin nature, with its evil practices and production, and have put on the new man, who is being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him. So Paul has taught this in Romans, where we're studying. He's taught it in Ephesians, he taught it in Colossians again and again and again. Now we have, in the ministry that I have been here, I've been here so long that I decided I'm a dinosaur. That's how long I've been here. I've taught all these books, verse by verse, word by word, all of these books. And by the time I'm getting now, there's almost no books left to teach. I've taught almost every single New Testament book, word by word, verse by verse, line upon line, all the way through, and many Old Testament books as well. And it's great now in Romans to see these things and think, wait, I've been there and done that, been there and done that. Okay. So again, Romans 8:13 sounds like this. Indeed, if you are living according to the sin nature, that is under the authority of the sin nature, you are destined to die, maximum divine discipline. But if you're living by the agency of the Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, the filling of the Spirit, you are putting to death the production of the body, the sin nature, with its sin, evil, and lust. You will live the spiritual life of the church age. Now let's pull this together a little bit. One, it is impossible to advance to spiritual maturity when you're living your life under the authority of the sin nature. It's impossible to advance to spiritual maturity when you're living your life under the authority of the sin nature. Two, all believers face temptations from the lust patterns of the sin nature. That's true, we all do. The great believers and the baby believers, the adolescent believers, the spiritually mature believers, all believers face temptations from the lust patterns of the sin nature. Three, but we all have a guardian of our soul, a volition. We all have a free will. And all we have to do is say no, no to the temptation. You don't have to acknowledge temptations. You're going to always, if you did that, that's all you'd be doing. Rebounding, 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 rebounding. We all have temptations. All you have to do is say no. It's not a sin until you say yes and commit the sin. But temptation itself is not. So we all have a guardian of our soul, a volition, a free will, and all we have to do is say no to the temptation. Four, the divine power of the filling of the Spirit and the divine power of the Word of God that you have learned and believed. When you believe it, the target for the Word of God is to get into your cardia, the right lobe of the soul in your heart. And your heart is up here. Now I know you got a pump down here, but the Word of God doesn't go down your pump. It goes here, your heart. When I was at Dallas Seminary, I was called in, and this fellow set me down. He says, Dick, we're really concerned about you here at Dallas Seminary. And I said, what did I do now? You know? He says, you're not married. I go, well, I'm waiting for God to bring the right one. I'm definitely not, I don't have the gift of celibacy. I know God has the right one out there, and I know He'll provide that right one at the right time, not to worry. Okay. And I found that right one right down here. And this is the, by the grace of God, we're celebrating Mother's Day today. We have two sons. And it wasn't just about a month or so ago, I thought she was going to take off and go to heaven and leave me down here. Don't ever even think about doing that. She came very close to going to heaven and leaving me down here. And believe me, there isn't enough people in this church that could help me at that. I don't know how to do anything at our house. I don't know how to work the washing machine, the dryer. I don't know how to do the dishwasher. I don't know how to do anything in the house. I would just sit in there. I'll probably wear the same clothes every single day. And they just get a little filthier. She is my soulmate, my helpmate, and I'm just thankful for God's grace that we're celebrating another Mother's Day here. Oh, I said, I take these aside and I forget what? Oh, yeah. I'm back to Dallas Seminary again, back at Dallas Seminary. And he looked at me, he says, now he knew. He said, now, Dick, you know, it's not only important to have a head belief. Then he goes, but a heart belief. I didn't correct him and say, no, the heart's up here, you know. Not just to have a head belief, but a heart belief. You grab up here. You don't grab down here. Heart belief. I said, well, I understand what you're saying. And I have a heart belief because the Word of God, I believed it. It's in my cardia. That's the target of the Word of God is here, your heart. When you believe it, now you can apply it and live it in your life. Oh, thank you very much. See? Now, if I go to heaven first, just see Pastor Olson down here. You know. 5. Romans 8:13 gives the believer the alternative of the Christian way of life as far as final objectives are concerned. Romans 8:13 gives the believer the alternatives of the Christian way of life as far as final objectives are concerned. 6. If you make bad decisions to live your life under the authority of the sin nature, you have a destiny. You've made it yourself by your own bad decision. You have no one else to blame but yourself. You've made a destiny, and that destiny is maximum divine discipline, dying discipline. So if you make bad decisions to live your life under the authority of the sin nature, you have a destiny. And that destiny is dying discipline. 7. However, If you make good decisions to live your life by the agency of the Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, the filling of the Spirit, then you will live. You will attain the objective of spiritual maturity. You will grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ. You will become a teleos mature believer, a spiritually mature believer. You will have virtue love brought to completion in your heart, personal love for God the Father, impersonal love for all, occupation with Jesus Christ. You will love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And you will glorify God to the maximum. We're only here a short time on earth, but you will glorify God to the maximum here in time, and then you will glorify God for all eternity. Following the rapture at the judgment seat of Christ, God has for the winner believer phenomenal crowns and rewards that will glorify Him forever and ever. We're all producing something. You're either producing wood, hay, and straw, or you're producing gold, silver, and precious stones. Turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. We're all producing something. What are you producing? Every single believer. And we're all going to be evaluated. Where are we going to be evaluated? At the judgment seat of Christ. Following the rapture, every one of us will stand there and be evaluated. And Paul writes about that. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 11. For no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. If any man builds on this foundation using gold, silver, and precious stone, that's divine good production. Divine good production is the result of living the spiritual life by the power of the Spirit and the Word of God. When you live the spiritual life by the power of God the Holy Spirit and the power of the Word of God in your heart, there will be a result. The result is divine good production. Gold, silver, and precious stone. Now, if you are not, if you are living by the power of the sin nature and out of fellowship with God and Satan's cosmic system, you're going to have production too. That production is wood, hay, and straw. And the believer's work, production, will be shown for what it is, because the day is the judgment seat of Christ, will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire at the judgment seat of Christ. Revealed with fire. And the fire will test the quality. Test the quality of each man's work. If what he has built survives, gold, silver, and precious stone, fire doesn't hurt that. That's the result of living the spiritual life. That's divine good production. If it survives, he will receive his reward, crowns and rewards, greater grace, blessings at the judgment seat of Christ. However, if it's burned up, wood, hay, and straw, he will suffer loss. He will lose out on greater grace, blessings. He will lose out on crowns and rewards. He will suffer loss of those greater grace, blessings, but he himself will be saved. He can't lose his salvation, eternal security, but only as one escaping through the flames. Now, that's not how you want to be at the judgment seat of Christ. You don't want to be, as a believer, like one escaping through the flames. And I always get a kick out of one of the Bible conferences I was at, and the colonel was teaching, and he got to this point, and he came out here, and he stood, and he looked at all the people there at that Bible conference, and he talked about a fellow in the military. He was shot down in his plane and it crashed, and plane was destroyed and burned up, and he was clothes were on fire, and he had soot and ash all over his face. Most of his clothes were burned, and he's walking. And then the colonel says, "And that's how some of you are going to go into heaven. Because you're living your life out of fellowship with God, living by your sin nature, living in Satan's cosmic system. All you have is the production of the sin nature. That's not how I want to see any of you at the judgment seat of Christ. I want to see you at the judgment seat of Christ with crowns and reward, gold, silver, and precious stones. And the Lord Jesus Christ saying, 'Well done, good and faithful servant.' And I hope God says that about every single one of you. Well done, good and faithful servant. And you will have the most phenomenal crowns and rewards that will glorify God. Those crowns and rewards glorify God for all eternity. So you can't lose your salvation. But what are you going to do after your salvation? Is it going to be living by your sin nature and the destiny of maximum discipline, dying discipline, or living by the power of God the Holy Spirit and the power of the Word of God, and having gold, silver, precious stones, and glorifying God to the maximum? Well, now in Romans 8:14-17, we have the results of the second alternative, living the spiritual life and attaining spiritual maturity. And the first result of living the spiritual life and attaining spiritual maturity is divine guidance. Divine guidance. And that's where we're going to start next time. Father, we thank you, sir, for your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.